kitchen. There's hard to be raining out
door. Come over here, kid. Why, sir? You never know, you might have to cook for 20 guys someday. You see, you start out with a little bit of oil. You fry some garlic. Then you throw in some tomatoes, tomato paste, you fry it, you make sure it doesn't stick. You gotta do a boil, you shove in all your sausage and your meatballs. Huh? Have a little bit of wine. A little bit of sugar.
Delicious.
And that's my trick.
When the moon hits your eye like a bigger pizza pie, that's amore.
Enough. I'm so sick and tired of hearing you people talk about food, food, food. That's all anybody ever talks about is prosciutto, cheese, and fava beans. I'm drowning here.
Jesus Christ, take it easy.
We're not even engaged yet.
When you're married, you'll understand the importance of fresh produce.
I eat with gusto, damn your bet, my country tis of thee. I eat for social progress, I eat for victory.
Delicious.
Good evening and welcome to Mouthful, the Wine Country's most delicious hour. It's Michelle Anna Jordan. Thanks for tuning in. Have you had a good day? Had something yummy to eat? I ate at one of my favorite restaurants in San Francisco today. Had lunch at King of Thai on Clement Street. Big bowl of noodle soup with stewed duck leg. Had some larb. They have the best larb, I think, anywhere that I've ever been. And then we went next door about, three doors down and brought home some of the best dim sum in the city as well. So saw the Yves Saint Laurent show and also the Andy Warhol show. Both really, really magnificent. It was a great outing on a nice rainy day. We have a really yummy hour. We are going to be talking about two of my favorite subjects. Pork and Pinot Noir, two things that go together really well. And if things work out, we're going to have a special guest stopping by in just a little while, too, to talk about an event that is going on next weekend. But for now, we have with us from Dry Creek Kitchen in the Hotel Hillsburg, Les Goodman, executive chef. Thanks for joining in.
Thank you.
You were smiling. It looks like you know King of Thai.
I know it very well. I spent 4 years in the city, and it's one of my favorite Thai restaurants.
Oh, cool. I'm glad to hear it. And we also have with us the general manager of Dry Creek Kitchen, Dan Prentice.
Hi. Thanks for having us in.
Very nice to have you both here. So tell us, what is Pigs and Pinot?
Pigs and Pinot is an event that Charlie Palmer started about 4 years ago. Held at Hotel Hillsburg. It's the ode to pigs and Pinot. Anything pork, from bacon to butt to the head and trotters and everything.
Head and tail.
Exactly.
Tips of the ears. And so was it a 3-day or 2-day festival?
2 days.
2 days. And tell us about the various events.
Friday evening is our taste around. It's actually the first year that we're having many of local Hillsburg chefs. We have Cyrus, Scopa, Manzanita, Zin Restaurant, many of them in town participating, all doing something with pork. About 50 different wines, all Pinot Noir from various vineyards around the world. We also have barbecues going on, many different stations. We have a few chefs coming from the city. From out in Napa, Christopher Cousteau from Meadowood, Michael Mina from the city. We have Graham Brown coming from New Zealand doing Zervena venison. And we have Philippe Rispoli, who actually used to work for Charlie a few years ago in Las Vegas, from France, working out of St. Louis these days, I believe, doing pork rillette. He's doing a barbecue pork burgers. Anything, everything you can think of with pork is going to happen this weekend.
Okay, so this is a dine around. The Friday night is the dine around.
Yes.
And how does that work? How's that going to work? How many hours is it? What's it cost to get in? Anybody, either of you?
It's my first year doing it, so it's a little bit interesting for me.
Okay.
Basically, this not only is it just a celebration of pork and Pinot Noir, but it's an event that's helping out the kids. That's one of the main features here. It's Share Our Strength Foundation as well as Hillsburg Schools. So on, it kicks off on Friday evening, 6:30. The entire property is decked out for a strolling barbecue feast of grills going, as Les was talking about, but also a lot of culinary delights that are coming out of the kitchen, pass arounds. And then, of course, 50 Pinot Noirs from Sonoma, as well as Oregon, New Zealand, and Bourgogne, or Burgundy. Mm-hmm. And these Pinot Noirs are going to be set up in different stations throughout the property, and there'll be a map around to where if you have a favorite Pinot Noir you want to try or something you haven't seen before and you see this on the map, you can go to, very simple, alphabetical. Go to A through C to 1, et cetera, et cetera. And on this, from 6:30 until 9:30, 10 o'clock, we'll be walking around, passing, eating. Charlie's going to be manning a grill, chatting. It's great networking. There's a lot of people will be coming from a lot of our guests will be coming from out of the state, and a lot of locals, a lot of people from the area, a lot of our Sonoma neighbors, and big wine industry. So it's a big thing with the 50 different Pinot Noirs to be on. It's a big thing to be invited to this event. And of these 50 Pinot Noirs, the sommes are going to, excuse me, I just use a term that it's a restaurant term, sommeliers will be tasting the Pinot Noirs and break this down to 16. Of the 16, there will be one that will be given the Pinot Cup, the Pigs and Pinot Cup, and they're all looking to see who's going to be the winner this year. Mm-hmm. And this will be on the next day at a great interaction with sommeliers, master sommeliers, and an educational seminar. And they will all the guests participating will have 16 different glasses in front of them, mm-hmm. and tasting the differences and learning about them. And it's going to be a very good event for the education. Charlie is going to kick off a nice food seminar. He'll bring his children, a couple of the kids, and at the neighboring Relish school, we will go ahead and put a nice cooking demonstration together. And then that night we'll have the gala event. The gala event is some 84 persons in the main dining room. We'll take all the tables out and deck this quite nice and elegant. Through this event, there will be one of the visiting chefs. Each course will be described with wines and from prominent winemakers in the area. This is going, and also from New Zealand and Oregon. One of the best things about this event is this is where we get to really showcase. This is where they're feathering their cap. They try this course, then we move into the next course, and then we'll retire to the Fireside Lounge for some port and coffees and dessert and. That is the weekend, but it sounds like it's in a nutshell, but it's going to be fun. We're excited about it. It's his fourth annual.
Nonstop.
Mm-hmm. Now, the Friday night event, and tickets are available for individual, not for the, you don't have to go to the whole thing, but you can go to the whole thing. Is that right?
Unfortunately, it's been such a success that the event is sold out.
The event's sold out, so you just get to taste it here in mouthful. You have to use your imagination.
We'd like to offer this a little step further. So for the listeners and for the our neighbors around and people coming into the Hotel Hillsburg over the next few weeks, we're going to have the taste of the Pinot Noir, Pigs and Pinot, on our menu. We'll take one of the dishes from the gala event so that if you missed it, you thinking about it, wanted to get on, and you were late in making mm-hmm. the call, don't worry. You can still visit Dry Creek Kitchen and have mm-hmm. a little taste of this. We'll be romancing this idea for the next few weeks, so you mm-hmm. can still get this taste. And then get your tickets for next year.
There you go. And the first night, the Friday night as well, that sold out too?
Yes, unfortunately.
How many people can attend that night?
350.
350, mm-hmm. okay. And what's the cost of that?
That was $100.
And the seminars are? Okay, we'll get that information.
But the gala dinner was $300.
And that's just 84 people.
Yes.
And so, okay, so one thing that's interesting is I've been wondering, I think everyone has been wondering, certainly probably you guys more than anyone who's in the business more than me, is tough economic times. So these events are selling right now.
Yes, it is tough economic times. However, we're doing great. The restaurant is always... This is the cycle of the business in the winter of mm-hmm. And spring of Healdsburg. We're doing fine. What we'd like to do is not knowing what kind of financial waters are ahead. We want to always be thinking, and we want everybody to know that we are thinking about value. mm-hmm. with value. We've got a couple. We have a few very interesting offers to our guests. One of the offers is we're doing a for Friday. We're doing a end of week work lunch for our neighbors. And what mm-hmm. this is $25 for three courses, and then we have wine at $7 a glass. We have a few wines to offer, so it is affordable. We have Monday through Thursday our Sonoma Neighbor Menu, and on our Sonoma Neighbor Menu, it's a $34 modest offering that is designed to have our neighbors come over twice a month. Come and see us. We'll change the menu up often, and it's $34. You go anywhere around town and you try to get an appetizer, a main course, a dessert, and try to think it's going to be $34.
Mm-hmm. You're impossible.
It's not going to happen.
Yeah. I think every restaurant everywhere right now has to be thinking along those lines so people can feel comfortable spending.
You just have to do smart business.
Yeah.
That's what it comes down to.
Sure.
Well, we're also tied in with our hotel, and we have some nice offerings with the spa. The spa is doing a combination spa together with a Friday lunch. This is a spring fling, and this mm-hmm. is an affordable mm-hmm. Package. And you can call the hotel at 707-431-2800 and book your reservation mm-hmm. for a Friday mm-hmm. spring fling.
So yeah, you have the guests at the hotel, you know, feeding into the restaurant. But also, you were able to sell out this event. I think that's a sign that people are going out and indulging in certain things.
Right. As we saw New Year's Eve, as we saw Valentine's Day, as we saw Thanksgiving, Christmas Eve, those were record holidays for us. We had some very, very, very satisfied guests and satisfied numbers. Mm-hmm. I like the numbers.
Okay. So when do tickets go on sale for next year? Do you start selling them right away?
I'll take down numbers and yeah. contact information, mm-hmm. and we will. If anybody wants to book for next year, we will make sure they don't leave the property without being contacted.
Okay, well, there you go. You are listening to Mouthful. We're talking about Pigs and Pinot coming up next weekend.
I'll be with you in apple blossom time, I'll be with you to change your name to mine. One day in May, you come and say, happy is the bride.
Yep, it's Mouthful. All right, my guest this evening, Les Goodman, executive chef of Dry Creek Kitchen, and Dan Prentice, general manager of the restaurant. Miramar Torres will be joining us, but just a little bit later in the show. I also want to tell you, get your dialing fingers ready. And I just have to tell you this. I went to visit a friend last night, and they had a dial phone. They had an old black phone with the... Have you forgotten how wonderful that heavy receiver feels in your hand? It's just awesome. It's a working dial phone. It made me so happy to see it there. Anyway, get your dialing fingers ready. We're going to have a special giveaway for a Mouthful listener. A little bit later in the show, I'll be telling you more about it soon, and I'll tell you when to call. It'll be right at the end of the show. So if you are interested in going out for a nice dinner sometime in the next few weeks, you definitely want to stay tuned. So Les, you've been at Dry Creek for about a year,
yes.
Almost a year. And where were you before?
I came from Las Vegas.
Oh, from where were you at Vegas?
The restaurant was called Alizé, Top of the Palms Hotel.
Uh-huh.
Working for my mentor, Andre Rochat, who owns a few other restaurants in Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
Spent about past 4 years for him, working at Alizé along with Andre's in the Monte Carlo Hotel, his original property in downtown Las Vegas, which he ended up closing this past December after 29 years. He is my mentor, who I've worked for most of my career.
Mm-hmm.
I've worked in L.A. for the Four Seasons. I've worked in Colorado as a sous chef. Did some traveling. Spent a month in India working in a restaurant in Taj Mahal Palace and Tower. Spent a month in Thailand traveling all over the country, hence the favorite of King Atai there. It's probably the best outside of the country itself.
So how is it being in Healdsburg?
I love it.
You're not bored?
I work enough that it keeps me awake.
Because it's a little bit slower than it is. The way Las I look Vegas, at it, I imagine.
Definitely. Las Vegas, I was born there. I know the city. Not too many people know people that have born there. Charlie says that to me numerous times. Really? You're not lying? You're really born there? Yes, I am. But I've moved in and out many times. I went to college in San Francisco, University of San Francisco, business degree. It's been fun progressing through this culinary industry, sort of traveling around, seeing different sites, different people, working for different chefs throughout the years. It's pretty much how you learn and move on up.
So when you came to Dry Creek, did you have an established menu that you needed to just keep, or were you able to fairly quickly start putting your imprint on it?
I think I put my imprint in fairly quickly.
You want to talk a little bit about how you've shaped the menu?
I take a lot of influences from the Mediterranean, which to me, with Healdsburg, when I first came up here, what I would dream and what I envision my head of northern Italy with all the farmers markets and producers and people coming just to the back of the door dropping off mushrooms or squashes. Like, can you buy this? Okay, well, how much? Try to barter with them and not finagle, but get the best price you possibly can. You got to do business somehow. Even with all the wineries, it's just driving around Dry Creek Road, West Side Road, up Healdsburg Avenue into Alexander Valley. You're just, it's the center of three wine appellations and just amazing. I don't know how many farms are probably within a 5-mile radius. During the summer when I first got here, I was in awe. Walking to work, I park in the parking lot and farmer's market's right there.
Right there, yeah.
Then I just go straight to work, buy stuff, and then carry that into work. To me, coming from Las Vegas, not something that's going to happen.
Was it harder, a lot harder to, you know, work with purveyors in Las Vegas? Most things were coming from more of a distance.
It was. Thing about Las Vegas is that you can get anything you want at any time. Most of the people, seasonality is very minimal. And chefs will write their menus as seasons change to gather a few ingredients. But here, it's just so diverse that you almost don't even know what to do. It can be overwhelming. There's so much produce during the summer from different orchards.
Sure. Just, that bounty of Sonoma County.
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
Why we're here.
Exactly. It's why I moved up here. It really is. I call myself a desert rat, and you can't grow up in Las Vegas wanting to be a chef and not really experience what food really is. And the essence of food is going to the farms, learning about how they're making it, how they produce it, going to the wineries, learning how they're making their wines. So much biodynamics and organic wineries these days. It really is just amazing.
So what are some of the really individual, specific ingredients that have inspired you since you've gotten here?
That's a hard one.
Well, you know, let's just start with some of the things that are on your menu right now.
Right now, I probably have not had, like, braising greens, collard greens, kale. It's some of the best I've ever had. Las Vegas, you would never really see it on a menu.
No?
You would never see it being delivered fresh. It would probably be frozen. Not too many people use it.
Oh, interesting.
We would, during the summer, the first Dry Creek peach that I bit into, and I had all that juice.
Do you remember the variety?
Down. Red Haven, I think, is what it was.
Yeah. Dry Creek peaches are so amazing.
Unreal. Yeah. I was like, okay, I got to do something with this on the menu now. Cherries. Winter was a little bit difficult. It was because of the farmers markets not being there, you didn't have all these people coming to the back of your door or being able to see everything.
So you do have those people just coming to say, look at these mushrooms. You know, we're going to take a real quick musical break, and we're going to continue the conversation with Les and what he's found since he's moved here from Las Vegas in just a little bit. But our guest Marimar Torres has arrived, so we're going to do a little bit of music and come back with Marimar.
Mm-hmm.
It's Mouthful. It's Michelle Jordan. Thanks for sticking with us. And now I have Marimar Torres. Marimar, you've been here a couple of, at least once, maybe twice before, and I know you're going to come back again sometime soon. But for now, you're here, and welcome for a specific event that's coming up on March 21st.
That's right. It's at the Salmon Creek School, Harmony School, which are now the Salmon Creek School on Bohemian Highway. And it's because we are doing a VIP opening of the first K8 Eco Green building in California. It's a fantastic building. It's an amazing project.
Yeah, I saw it before it was finished. I saw the outside of it before it was finished.
Uh-huh.
Now, you have property right near there.
Exactly. So my vineyard, named after my mother, Doña Margarita Vineyard, is right across from the Bohemian Highway. So from a long time ago, ever since this was a project in our minds, I talked my brothers into contributing major funding for this project. So they've been totally willing. And so, you know, thanks to that and matching funds and a lady named Victoria Johnston, who's done a tremendous job with getting people involved, you know, the building is a reality. And it's really my mother, before she died, she had a wish of providing for the education of kids.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, you know, the kids, and especially the Latino kids who are in our vineyards, who do such a tremendous job and who, you know, we owe so much, we are going to, you know, devote that to all of them, and, you know, to everybody who now goes to Salmon Creek School.
Okay, so one of the things that's going to happen, or that can happen, is anyone can buy a chair.
Yes, it is
so fun. I think this is so sweet.
Right. So the auditorium, which is dedicated to my mother, has chairs that will be engraved. This is all a fundraiser. So we are provide all the funds go to the school and more.
Mm-hmm.
And so the first there's the VIP tour. And then after that, there's a lunch, which will be at my winery at Marimar Estate on Grayton Road. And we will do a paella because that's what people love. So the ticket for that is $150. But if you buy the chair, then it is $250, and you will have a chair engraved with your name. So that's the plan. And we've gotten we're way more than half full.
And it's a small. It's just 50 people.
Yes, because that's all I can fit
right at
the winery for lunch.
Uh-huh.
But we are, you know, we are getting there. So it's very exciting.
And, you know, I've been to a couple of paella parties at your winery.
Right.
Can highly recommend them. It's definitely something everyone should experience. So that is coming up on March 21st. Can we tell people how to get tickets, or should I just tell them to send me an email?
Either that, or they can call the winery.
Okay.
It's 823-4365.
That's 823-4365. And as always, you can send an email to me at catsmilk@sonic.net, and I'll get you all the necessary numbers and links. But before you go, I want to...
And they can also call the Salmon Creek School.
Oh, okay. Salmon Creek School
so
as well.
So Marimar Estate, Vineyards and Winery, or Salmon Creek School. And we'd be delighted to take a reservation. It's at 11 o'clock.
At 11 o'clock.
So 11 o'clock, we meet at the winery, and then we go there, and then we come back for lunch.
It just sounds great. But I want to talk a little bit about paella.
Yes. My favorite subject.
Okay.
After wine.
Tell us the secret. What's your secret to paella? What does a person... I always think that it's easier to make something once you've eaten it at its source.
Mm-hmm.
So once
you've
eaten paella in Spain, it's easier to get back there in your own kitchen. But if you've never eaten it there... What are the things that are helpful to know?
Well, I would say buy the freshest ingredients. That's really important. Use a homemade chicken stock. As you know, I hail from Spain. Mm-hmm. I came here in 1975. And I remember, and I was married to a restaurant critic. So I remember.
Oh, you were?
I didn't
know that.
Oh, yes. And one of our first meals, you know, about a year after I was here, was having Julia Child to our house for lunch or for dinner, right? And so I said, you know, can I make the paella? So I made a paella. And it was really one of my, I mean, afterwards I wrote books about, you know, Spanish cuisine. But at that time, that was, you know, only a dream. And it was great fun. So it's a dish that you can hardly go wrong with especially if you follow my recipe.
That's right.
Right.
And your books are, it's so nice, your books are available at the winery and through the website.
Absolutely.
For Marimar Estates.
Yeah. Our website is marimarestate.com.
Yeah, easy to get to.
And really, paella, it has many versions. So mm-hmm. The original one is the one in Spain, in Valencia. But you know, I have many recipes. I have, I think, 7 or 8 recipes in my book. Mm-hmm. And essentially, it's a dish about rice. It's mm-hmm. about flavoring the rice. Mm-hmm. So you use tomatoes and onions and chicken and rabbit, if you like rabbit. Mm-hmm. You know, you can use sausage. You can use vegetables, shellfish. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I've made a lobster paella. I make actually I have a wine club that we call Club Marimar, mm-hmm. and we have tons of events every year. Actually, this year we have 12 events.
Oh my goodness!
One per month, and the upcoming one in April, 10th of April. Yeah, Good Friday. We're having a shellfish paella, a meatless paella, uh-huh. a meatless meal, and a feast without touching any meat.
Mm-hmm. Now, is saffron always an ingredient in every paella?
Yes, yeah. Yes,
and definitely. Where do you like to get your saffron?
In Spain. Right. Yeah. I think the Spanish saffron, but of course you can get it here. I mean, our sure. wonderful Pacific market has all the most wonderful Spanish produce. Mm-hmm. You know, from that, you have the Iberico Serrano ham, you mm-hmm. have the Spanish cheeses, manchegos, mm-hmm. and lots more.
Yeah, you can even find quince paste.
Absolutely.
In markets now. Yeah. You know, that just, yeah. I slave over my stove making quince paste from scratch. I do, because I have a quince tree. So I didn't have a good crop this year, but usually I make a lot of quince paste.
So you just go to Pacific and buy it there.
I buy it when I need some quince paste. So it is the tour of the new eco facility mm-hmm, at at Salmon Creek School. Mm-hmm. The event is taking place on March 21st at 11 o'clock with a tour followed by a gala paella lunch at Miramar Estates with wine, I assume.
Oh, of course.
Pinot Noir.
I forgot to talk about wine.
Pinot Noir with?
Well, paella goes beautifully with both of the varieties that we make, uh-huh. with Chardonnay and Pinot Noir. Uh-huh. So we will have an array of wonderful wines and from the vineyards. As you know, all we produce at Miramar Estate is estate-bottled, estate-grown. Mm-hmm. So it's only from the grapes of the two vineyards we have. One is Don Miguel, named after my father, and the other one is Doña Margarita, mm-hmm. named after my mother, mm-hmm. the one who provided for the kitchen for kids. So anyway, when she died, my brothers and I told her that we would definitely, you know, we have a foundation, and that's where this is coming from.
That's really great. Now, if you haven't visited the winery, there are now daily opportunities.
Yes.
People can come and do the tasting menu.
Uh-huh. Yes, the tapas and wine pairing.
Right.
Absolutely, yeah.
But the other thing, and we were driving by, I was on my way to a memorial service in Camp Meeker. We drove past the winery, and you were putting up another sculpture
right.
was being installed. Uh-huh. So you have sculptures
from
Patrick Amiot.
Yes, we have three dogs.
Yes,
two out of the three are alive. One died, and this is a very dog friendly winery, dog and kids friendly winery. Uh-huh. So we are actually finding that people just love having the dogs. But today we had the barrel tasting weekend, mm-hmm. which is why I had to race here, and we had the dogs running around, and people loved it, and it's really fun. Mm-hmm. This county is very pro dogs, and that's good.
Mm-hmm. I think we're pro cat too.
okay, pro animals,
and
pro
yes.
horses. You know, we have a barn.
Yes,
by the Doña Margarita Villa across from the Salmon Creek.
Yeah, you have
school.
A whole horse facility
yep.
there.
Yes, absolutely. We board up to 20 horses.
Really? Oh, that
which
many?
Is fun. You know, uh-huh. I built it thinking that would be a kind of a community place to meet, and it's working out that way. Mm-hmm. We have really a great, you know, horse community, mm-hmm. dog community, wine community.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. Gosh, Barrel Weekend, I'm surprised you're not sitting in, you know, like a hot tub somewhere trying to recover. But I really appreciate you taking the time, and good luck with the event. It's a
thank
great
you.
Cause, and, you know, it's mm-hmm. a great thing that you and your brothers are supporting.
Absolutely.
And you'll come back sometime when you can spend the whole hour, and we'll talk about Miramar Estate. Taste some wine. That would be just great.
Absolutely. And yeah, and anybody who wants to come to the winery, we're open 11 to 4 every day.
On
Greaton Road, 11400. Right where you see the three humongous dog sculptures, that's us.
And the phone number, 823-4365. You can get information about the March 21st event as well. We'll be right back with more talk with Dry
Thank
Creek Kitchen.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much.
We'll be right back.
Miramar Torres, she's like the sun rising no matter what time of day you see her. She is always so bright and warm and cheerful. Love talking to her. And it's a good event coming up on the 21st. Everybody in Sonoma County should have her paella at least once. So now we are back to Dry Creek Kitchen, and I have a stack of menus in my hand here. And I notice, because my eye just goes, I think I have little tiny magnets in my eyes, and wherever anything says cheeks, my eyes just automatically go there. So it's roasted pork cheeks. That sounds so very good. I had tempura cod cheeks a couple of days ago. Lydia Shire from Boston was out and she's actually, I think she's still here. She was out for a series of events at Miriam Vineyards, and I was there for the Thursday night dinner, and she did a number of appetizers while we were in one room standing and talking and stuff. And then we sat down to a dinner that, I mean, it was a lot of food. But the very first thing was this tempura of cod cheeks, and it was just so beautifully tender. And I love
sounds good
pork cheeks, beef cheeks, tacos cabeza, you know. Cheeks are just great. Anyway, we're going to talk about some of the specific dishes. But, Dan, you started to tell me about...
Yeah, one of the things, sorry. Throughout the restaurant industry, the chefs and the wine sommeliers have different roles. The chef would put out food, and then the wine sommelier's got to sweep up and try to support this as like a supporting actor to the film. And that's always a great challenge for the somms to choose the correct wine that will go great with the food. Well, we're up here in wine country, and we've gotten involved with, you know, Charlie Palmer's involved with Clay Mortz, and he's doing a couple of wines with him, the Unbelievable Duelist and Charlie Clay, great Pinot Noirs. And this vision of being with the winemakers and seeing what they do and all the little nuances, we've challenged the chefs at Dry Creek Kitchen to flip it, to pick a wine dinner, or even what we're doing on a nightly basis is we have a focus wine, which is we pick a wine. So I'll give Les a wine and say, here, create a dish that will spotlight and bring out the true essence of the wine, so that with that wine alone, it's great. But I want to find that food that just really, really spotlights the wine. And in our wine dinners, the idea is to taste the wine and then create the food around the wine. And it's that flip and that romance of Sonoma has really, really brought a lot of attention. It's brought. It's also it is a great way of having Les choose the food and having a more of an interesting foothold on creating the menu for that night. So it is truly that. And we do have throughout the winter a series of winemaker dinners every month, and then in the summer we're going to do some interesting Pioneer wine series, which is where Drew, our sommelier, will pick out some unique angles of a winemaker, get them together, and then have a little seminar that's not just about tasting this and ripe fruit and tar and cherries, but find out what their angle is, whether it be a cult wine, whether it be an angle how they're doing some different things, like at Mortz, and he's doing the different soils, and then educate the guests on these, and then move it into a dinner. So this is something that is a great challenge, and we're finding Les is doing unbelievable with this. It's a great thing.
So how do you work when you do that? What do you sit down, taste the wines,
and then let things?
But in what sort of progression?
I'll sit down with Drew, our sommelier, and the winemaker, or someone from the vineyard. Whether if it's just one, sit down, try it out, smell it, taste it. I write down my notes, and while the wine is being explained to me, I'm thinking of food that would go with it. And based off of the characteristics from the wine.
And I guess what I'm trying to get at is, how does that function in your head? I mean, do you actually, you sip a wine, and do you think to yourself, well, these characteristics, so that would go with, or are there suddenly just flavors in your head?
Some wines are easier than others. Sometimes it takes me a little while.
Uh-huh.
But Jess just means it's more of a challenge.
Uh-huh.
Can't put up a, or can't turn off a challenge.
Uh-huh. No, yeah, I'm just interested in that little mechanism in each person who works in this arena, of how it works. Because sometimes I think if you give a wine a chance, it will just talk to you. It will just, you sip something, and the next thing you know, you're thinking about something you want to eat. Mm-hmm. And you haven't necessarily gotten there by logical reasoning, but you realize, oh, you know, the wine evoked that, even though there was no thought process that got me there.
There's even been times where bottles first open, try it, then revisit it at the end of the day. And what I initially would write down, I'm like, oh, great, need to change that thought. You know, depending on how long the bottle's been open, if you're just canning it, all the aeration, you can definitely change up the characteristics of the wine, and definitely would change the food pairing to it. Mm-hmm. So even taking those into consideration is, you gotta take them in consideration.
Mm-hmm. Now, what are you finding? I know some people, this is a hot topic. How do you feel about level of alcohol? In the recent years, we've been seeing some really high alcohol. Some people feel that really makes pairing a little more difficult. Do you have any thoughts about that?
I would agree. I personally am not a fan of wines that are hitting 15% or even those that are definitely higher than that, especially for food. I mean, when you open up the bottle and pour it in a glass, first thing you just smell is just, it's almost, I don't want to say ether, but it smells like opening a bottle of Jack or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
it's really strong. Some wines that may dissipate over time, but others, I'm not a fan.
Mm-hmm. So what do you do then when you have to pair something? I think this is something that would be really useful to anyone who drinks wine. I think some people find themselves, I've got this high alcohol wine, either someone's serving me, I have to deal with that. What are some foods? I always think, you know, well, put some fat in the way there, you know, get something to cushion the palate. But do you have any tricks for compensating?
I agree with fat. I would do one of the ways, if that's the wine you're going to be drinking, if you're using that particular wine in the sauce of whatever you're making.
Burn off that alcohol.
it would help balance it out.
Uh-huh.
Braising items. Uh-huh. Short ribs, any sort of cheeks.
Mm-hmm.
I love, pork, obviously. Mm-hmm. The fattiness in pork really seems to cut a lot of it down.
Mm-hmm.
Rich sauces.
Mm-hmm.
With a lot of these high alcohol wines, there's that acid to it, so you need that fat to round it out.
Round it and soften it and sort of cushion the palate, that sort of thing. So let's look at some of these menus. I'm just going to...
Duck, I know there's plenty there.
Yeah, crispy duck confit that you served with Pinot Gris. That's an interesting pairing. Potato cavatelli. House-made potato cavatelli pasta. That's really interesting. With wild mushrooms, parsnip puree.
That's sort of our take on a gnocchi in a way.
Uh-huh.
Using potato as a base like you would with gnocchi, but not having predominantly potato. It's not quite as light and fluffy, but it still has great, it's a firm, great texture, good amount of pepper in there, and the little shapes, it's just great on a plate. Very tasty. Everyone's loving it.
Mm-hmm. Now, the Magnet Pinot Noir, either of you talk about that one? I don't know Magnet.
Magnet is Sonoma County. It's a limited production. Magnet Pinot Noir is along the Burgundian style, a little earthier undertones. It's not that big, bugly, bright California fruit, so it really, really goes great with pork dishes. It's not that, like I said, it's not the big bugly fruit like you'd find in the California Pinot Noir. So it is a little bit more of a softer finesse with earthier undertones.
Mm-hmm. And you said small production.
Small production.
Yeah, I'd like to try them. You know, my goal, or it was once my mission to know every single Pinot Noir in California, and along about 3 years ago, it just exploded. It'd have to be my full-time job to do every single one.
I think that's one of the things that's great for Les, is that he just doesn't have to create food. It's like whenever there's a wine dinner or a new item for a new wine for the focus, is like, and then he gets to taste it, and this is
I mean, that's what being in this business is about, learning and experiencing and trying every valley and vineyard and all the food. It's just, it's exciting. It's one of the major reasons I did move up here. It's a plethora of excitement.
And the restaurant is, you know, back in the, I don't know, remember that Lucy skit where they had the Brown Derby, where she was looking for all the movie stars at the Brown Derby in Hollywood? Well, Dry Creek Kitchen is kind of like that with winemakers. At any mm-hmm. given moment, there are winemakers at this table, that table, at the mm-hmm. bar, just having dinner, having a glass of sparkling at the bar. They're just everywhere. And it's mm-hmm. great when somebody comes in from out of town and we're talking and they say, well, what winery would you like to go to? And we start talking about Brogan or start talking about mm-hmm. about the Rocchioli. And then I'll say, well, see over there? That's Tom Rocchioli mm-hmm. right over there. So it's quite interesting to be in this area.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, it's the same way in Sebastopol. Mm-hmm. You go out to dinner in Sebastopol and I went to K&L Bistro the other day for lunch, and I was just sitting there. I was just very focused on the conversation I was having. All of a sudden, this bottle of wine appears on my table, and there's the folks from Kosta Browne. And,
oh, wow.
you know, I know somebody who, they get grapes. Kosta Browne buys their grapes, and they're having a big taste in a whole bunch of wines, and they just brought over a wine for me. And it's like, God, I love living in wine country sometimes. It's really great.
It's amazing.
So here's another menu, the Sonoma Nay. I love neighbor menus, community menus, anything like that, community dinners. A huge fan of that sort of thing. This was from February last month. Creamy white bean soup with pancetta, roasted garlic, and croutons, an Iron Horse sparkling wine with it. And then, look, again, pork cheeks with Love Farm greens and a polenta cake with an unti zin, and then a chocolate and peanut butter bar. It was dark chocolate, peanut butter mousse, and chocolate sorbet. So are community nights, are the neighbor nights well attended with locals?
It's unbelievable. We've opened up another segment of not only reaching out to the community and the uh-huh. winemakers in the area, is that we have a corkage wave. So first two bottles, we wave. And it's just opened up this door of, I have on any given Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, just some great neighbors walking in for the Sonoma Neighbor Menu, bringing their own wine in, and it's a great romance, and it's working out really, really well. They're coming back often. We're changing the menu often, and one of the reasons why I brought you that menu is because we're about ready to kick off a new menu for spring with some early spring vegetables and, mm-hmm. and liven it up a little while. Now, on Monday and Tuesday, we do jazz. In
yeah,
the dining room.
We have jazz and wine dinners.
Yeah. So it's the same Sonoma Neighbor menu. And as a bonus, on Monday and Tuesday, there's jazz from 7 to 10. The room fills. There's some great trios, duos. It's a great way to come have dinner and enjoy the music and something about live music being
oh,
in
yeah.
with
and
the
I say,
food.
On Tuesday, March 24th, you've got a mouthful friend John Youngblood playing on mandolin. John Youngblood is really, really talented. Really talented photographer, as well as a really good musician.
So I should overstaff for that day now that you've plugged them.
Yes. Oh, yeah, I'll probably plug them more. I'll tell you a secret. Back a long, long, long time ago, John and I flipped burgers together at a little restaurant in Cotati called Jerome's Good Dogs. Mm-hmm. And I was in college. Don't think he was in college at the time, but yeah, we used to work side by side, working the grill together at times. He used to just totally intimidate me, but I was a little girl. Anyway, he's great. He's a really, really good musician, really talented, just all around talented guy. That it should be a great night. He's been in Hillsborough for a really long time. Les, what do you find? What are some of your biggest challenges? Are there ingredients that you fight with that it's like, oh God, I have to cook that? Or, you know?
I wouldn't say that. Challenges I've noticed up here, and I guess it's an upcoming trend. I don't want to say trend, but concern. People with vegetarians coming into the restaurant, vegans coming into the restaurant. We have a lot of people that come in that can't have gluten. Some of them may have celiac disease or something. And when those people arrive, it's definitely a challenge trying to figure out what they can eat and make sure that I'm not going to serve them something that, one, they're not even going to like in the first place. Mm-hmm. I'll cater to them. They mm-hmm. definitely won't say, okay, well, I'm not going to do this. But mm-hmm. It does pose a challenge.
So do you get a lot of those requests?
Yes, we do. With tasting menus, it makes it even more difficult.
Sure. Now, explain for people who don't know, what is a tasting menu?
Tasting menu is our restaurant, we do a 6-course tasting menu, varying from many items that are currently on the menu or even a few that are not on the menu.
So they're just smaller portions.
Yes, they are. Showcasing what I think are highlights on the menu or something that I could be experimenting with and trying it out on the customers. Mm-hmm. But it's a great way to get a feel for what the chef, the restaurant, and the staff is doing, along with if you want to try numerous wines and mm-hmm. see how those go with the food, then it's a great way to experience dining.
Yeah, and for somebody who doesn't want to put all the focus on one big main course.
Exactly.
You know, it's like all courses are more equal in a tasting menu. And it's a fun way to go if you're just feeling adventurous.
And even if I go to a restaurant that doesn't have a tasting menu to dine for myself, I probably order 3 or 4 appetizers and maybe an entree I'll share with someone just so I can try stuff.
And it's designed in a progression to where the starters, then it moves on up and through to the main course to where they're designed after each other.
Mm-hmm. So I know that a number of years ago, I think it was actually quite a while ago in the early 90s, we saw a really big trend, restaurants and everywhere else, people's houses for dinner. I can't eat that. I can't eat that. I can't have that. I can't have that. And that seemed to really reach a crescendo in the late 90s. And now we're seeing it quite a bit again, but more with
definitely
the vegan and vegetarian preferences.
Correct. It could be people wanting to eat healthier. My personal opinion on food is probably very different from that of others. I just feel there's so many things in society today that between lobbyists and, I don't want to say government, so to speak, but big companies that we may be not seeing the whole picture. I think we're one of the unhealthiest societies in the world. After my month in Thailand, to come and learn that there's zero heart disease in the country, and yet they are frying food in mm-hmm. peanut oil, which is extremely healthy for you, using the coconut oil, which people believe is not healthy for mm-hmm. you, even using pork fat and all that. I mean, they eat a lot of pork in that country.
Yeah.
And depending on what region you live in there, it varies. A lot of fish. There's no dairy. Mm-hmm. There's no cow's milk anywhere in that country. Mm-hmm. They get their calcium from fish bones. Mm-hmm. And if any person in this country looks at a calcium pill bottle, one of the first few ingredients is going to be fish bone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a really good point. And it's a really good topic, and I'm with you on that. I think that it's micromanaging nutrients.
Exactly.
Isn't really the way to go, but that's a topic for another time. And we touch on
it
a lot. It's very generous of you all to do this. We have dinner for two with a bottle of Pinot Noir chosen by the sommelier on duty. Is that correct?
Right. What we wanted to do is we wanted to echo what we're doing with the Pigs and Pinot. And we want it just to have this inertia keep going. So we're hoping that whoever receives this will enjoy pork. And we wanted to pair that with the Pinot Noir. If unfortunately you hit that dial and you're not a pork lover, don't worry. You'll be plenty to choose from on our menu.
But first, let me say goodbye to our guests. So Les Goodman, Executive Chef of Dry Creek Kitchen, and Dan Prentice, General Manager, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks very much for this really generous gift to a Mouthful listener. And have a blast at Pigs and Pinot. One of these years, I'm going to get there.
Thanks for having us in.
See you next week.
Mouthful is produced and hosted by Michelle Anna Jordan. Lawrence Alberti is Mouthful's engineer. For more information about Mouthful, send an email to mouthful@michelleannajordan.com. That's Michelle with one L. You can also download Mouthful's free podcast from krcb.org or from iTunes. Listen to me.